This is, where are we? It's Paul Russell. He has been an architect for 40 years. He will be talking about the Zoom nursery on Lewisham Way. He's been running his own locally based practice for the last 25 years, and he sat on the conservation panel for Bexley Council for 7 years until its sad demise. So, over to Paul.
Good afternoon. As you've heard, I've been qualified for over 40 years. Prior to that, there was 3 years experience, and then 15 years, much the same story as you've heard from Rhys Cannon in terms of working for corporate, taking the corporate route to success for 15 years, and then the next 25 years, and counting, running my own practice. Our practice has carried out over 1,000 projects, mainly in Greenwich, Lewisham and Bexley, but also further afield and such as the Crown's Regent's Park estate. Much of our work has therefore been on listed buildings or in conservation areas. I was asked to speak specifically about the Zoom nursery, so that's what I'm doing, but I just thought I'd quickly mention a couple of other projects just to give you an idea of what we do as a practice. This is Vanbrugh Castle, a Grade 1 listed building in Greenwich, and that orangery is our design. So that was built completely new. Rhys explained about brickwork. In that case, we had to use a double Flemish bond, which is quite interesting. In order to do that, I therefore drew the front elevation with every single brick on it to make sure that it was built properly. This one is in Lewisham next to the Hare and Billet pub. The top one is what it was like when we got to it. That had been built immediately post-war, but seemed to us to have been built in the basic style and proportion of the 1940s. However, it wasn't very attractive and even bizarrely had leaded light windows fitted to it. As soon as we tried the old crittle-sized windows and the proportion, the whole building then made a lot more sense. So that was what we did, and we managed to sneak an extra floor on top. A more recent scheme is the conversion extension of the Sydney Arms on, which is in Lewisham, just about on Lewisham Road. So there we've got a modern roof extension and a modern extension to the rear, as well as considerably tidying up the existing building. This one, Royal Hill Court, I don't know whether you remember how truly ghastly the original building was on the top, and then on the right-hand side is the complete recladding that we did to that. This one is, I've shown this last because it's most relevant then to what we've done to the old Welsh Chapel, and that was the old sorting office on Greenwich Park Street in Greenwich, where we put a modern mezzanine inside the existing building to convert it to offices. But as I said, I've been asked to speak about the 289 Lewisham Way, the conversion into a children's day nursery for Zoom nurseries. The original property comprised two conjoined buildings. To the left, looking from Lewisham Way, is the two-storey height chapel, which had a single-storey entrance porch, and it's in the arts and crafts sort of style, and it's largely brickwork with some half-timber and slate roofs. So we've got a bit more detail of it there, and it is believed to have been built specifically for the chapel use. To the right-hand side, we've then got an interesting building because it's largely double-fronted. It's finished in stucco with a single-storey side extension. The front elevation's symmetrical, but then, oddly, the roof has a hip gable to one side and a vertical gable to the other, which we'll show on some of the other photos. That provided the vicarage, which was built on two main floors plus a basement and then a partial second floor, largely in the roof. Inside, to the right of the ground floor, there was a stage, a large room with a stage, which was sort of auditorium style, or perhaps an ancillary chapel, and also a rather scruffy commercial kitchen. The basement wasn't really used at all, apart from for storage. I've got to go. Right, and the second floor was semi-derelict. The middle floor, two floors, provided office, storage and miscellaneous meeting rooms, and there was also some residential accommodation. Overall, the villa was in reasonable condition, but was rather run down, and two floors not really being used at all. There'd been roof leaks, the services needed completely replacing, and so on. Inside the chapel, though, in addition to the lobby, there was just a single large double-storey height space with large feature windows facing towards the west, overlooking the village, the vicarage. So there's no point in me pointing at the screen. You can't see what I'm doing. The large windows, they're overlooking St. John's to the side. So as you can see, there's some quite interesting exposed beams in there. So the original building plans, that shows the large space with the porch on the front and the apse at the rear. And then you can see with the villa, pretty much a traditional design, but with really quite a large staircase in the middle. The original elevations, you can now see that the front elevation, which is more or less symmetrical, then has the roof that throws it off kilter. You're not so aware of that when you're looking at it in the flesh. What you will see above the front entrance to that, up at the roof, there is a roof light, which is a later addition. So the nursery plans, the first thing you can see there is that in the main hall, there are rooms on the ground floor level, and then there's mezzanine space above it. There's a general reorganisation of the space, but if I just flip back to that and then go forward again, you will see that we have retained the vast majority of the internal rooms and the internal walls. So the difference we have here, looking to the front entrance, we've now got a dormer over the front entrance, and at ground floor level you can just see the tops of windows peeking over the ground floor level. There's a bit of a basement area there, so we opened up the basement to give more light to that as well. So this is what we've now ended up with. So really the dormer is the main thing that you can see. Otherwise it's just generally tidied up. Not quite the innovation of the previous scheme. I could have shown you some projects with that, but this was the one I was asked to talk about. So you can see from this that also the boundary treatment. There's some really nice fences as we go around, high quality fences. We've got children's play area to the back. The rear had been, in particular, had been very badly maintained. So that's considerably improved. What we've got. Then we get inside. So we're now back in the main hall, and now you can see the mezzanine space that's created within the hall. So now we're making the best use of it. Modern materials, by and large, but as you can see, all the existing trusses are also retained. So we now end up with a bright, colourful, lively space, fit for purpose for the kids. But as you can also see, all the existing details that were worth keeping have been kept. So that's the scheme. But in the context of this. This conference and the planning process, I thought it relevant to talk then as to how we got there. The previous lawful use of this building was a Welsh Presbyterian chapel. So it provided a chapel and a vicarage and ancillary functions. So it fell within a D1 use class for non-residential institutions. The proposed use for Zoom nurseries, therefore, as a children's daycare nursery, falls within the same D1 use class for non-residential institutions, so no change of use was required. This was important because unfortunately there are often objections to children's day nurseries on the basis of perceived noise and disturbance and parking issues. In fact, this was the third site in the area that Zoom had tried to gain consent for. And as I recall on the previous two, Broccoli Society objected to both of them. And the major reason why Zoom went for this site was because the change of use wasn't required. Similarly, the property is not on the statutory list, although it's within St John Conservation Area. Taken with the nursery falling within lawful use, this meant that basically there was little, if any, planning control on the interior, and all that consent was required for was the minor external alterations. So the flyer for this event aims to increase the understanding of how to protect and enhance conservation areas through good design, and notes that this means both protecting what there is and creating innovative solutions, and doesn't necessarily mean preserving an aspect, as I commented on previously. So I fully understand and support the need to protect what is good in conservation areas, and certainly as a practice, our starting point is always, can we reuse existing good quality buildings? But there is quite a big but. As noted, I've been going for 43 years. I know that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm any good, but the practice has 10 staff and has had for about 20 of those years. We don't advertise. All our work comes from personal recommendations and referrals from such as estate agents and solicitors. So we must be doing something right. And also, we've got a lot of experience in listed buildings and working in conservation areas. So we do have an idea what we're doing. Now, I'm sorry if that comes over as arrogant, but if you've got no arrogance in an architect, it's probably not any good, because you need a pretty strong ego to withstand the slings and arrows that come your way. So we often start with an innovative scheme, with a clear vision and a carefully considered concept, but almost inevitably, once we enter the planning system, this becomes watered down. Sadly, we find that all too often, conservation officers, unfortunately not one here to discuss it with, and amenity sizes are conservative with a small c, and their approach is rarely open to radical ideas. We often hear people say they're prepared to accept good modern design, but it's almost impossible to get a consensus as to what good modern design is. One reason for this is that smooth, clear lines often look boring on a drawing, as people are less used to looking at these and they find it harder to understand. The result is that often we get pushed towards a pastiche of some sort and have to give in order to gain a consent for our clients. These days, planners, they are under considerable pressure with a high workload. This means that there's not normally time in the process for discussion, whatever that might have been suggested on the screen. And this is exacerbated because most councils have a moving cast of temporary agency staff who are not familiar with the area. We're always prepared to work with the planners, but there is a saying that if you design by committee, you get a camel, which means that you get something which works and fulfills the functional brief, but it's ugly. This is the danger, in that the more people that are involved, the more the scheme gets watered down. It's extremely rare for somebody coming in from the outside to suggest something being more radical in an application. Planners and local authorities can be criticised for something which is too radical or too modern, but rarely face the same criticism for a safe scheme, and will often not be criticised for being too boring or missing an opportunity. There are enlightened planners, again, unfortunately, none of them here today, that seek to facilitate the best scheme that they can, but more often than not, there's the prosaic view that they have the pressure to get applications through the system with the least trouble to them. So if I just go back. If I go back to Elliot Place, I'm not normally on for audience participation, but who thinks that scheme's an improvement on the existing? Anybody doesn't like it? Good. Well, all the neighbours objected. It took 2 years to get that through planning. So then if we go back to the nursery at the former Welsh Chapel, in this case, my view, the success of the scheme was because it fell largely outside the planning controls, which gave us much more freedom. So in conclusion, I'm afraid I'm of the view that the planning system, as it currently stands, stifles innovative design. Thank you.